in the year 1620. Now think about that. That was 404 years ago. In the year 1620, the pilgrims were looking for religious freedom, and they sailed to what was then called the New World and landed on Plymouth Rock in Cape Cod Bay. They were so very unprepared for what they would face as they went into a harsh winter. In fact, they had to dig 7 times more graves that first year than they built huts for the living. 7 times more graves for the dead than huts for the living. And after that first year had been over, almost half of the 102 pilgrims that landed at Plymouth Rock died. Almost half. And yet, after that first year, in 1621, they gathered together and they said this. They appointed, quote, an especial day on which to give especial thanks for all their mercies. They celebrated what was now known as the First Thanksgiving. The First Thanksgiving. They agreed among themselves that since their prudence and forethought had been so wonderfully blessed of God, they would send out 4 men hunting that they might rejoice together in a special manner after the fruit of their labors had been gathered. According to the historian, barley and Indian corn were their only crops. 4 hunters brought in as much game as would serve the company for a week, and the Indian chief, Massasoit, brought 90 of his men with him to celebrate with the pilgrims for 3 days, 3-day Thanksgiving celebration. The Indians killed and brought 5 deer for the feast as well. Year 1621, beginning of Thanksgiving Day in America. Listen carefully. As we're launching into this month, we're going to be focusing on the importance of giving thanks to the Lord. Rather than focusing on their hardship and tremendous loss, they chose to be thankful for how they had been blessed and what they had gained. It's been said, we don't live life based upon facts, but rather on our interpretation of the facts. We live life not based on what happens to us, but rather in light of how we interpret what happens to us. We go through the challenges and the difficulties of this life, but we need to have a biblical, godly perspective on what takes place. We don't live life based on the facts, but rather on our interpretation of the facts. Now, think of the Israelites. They, on the other hand, were freed from bondage in Egypt. Oh, glory! Here we go, man, we're free. And yet, we face the Dead Sea. Oh, no, what are we going to do? God parts the waters, and they go out into the wilderness, and they get hungry, and they get thirsty. Oh no, you have brought us out into the wilderness to die. We want to go back to Egypt. Oh yeah, there was bondage, but at least we had food to eat, water to drink. God provides manna every single morning for them to sustain them. And provides water from the rock. Then they make their way up to Kadesh Barnea. Oh, we're going to go into the promised land. And so they send 12 spies into the land. It was a wonderful land, a land flowing with milk and honey. This was their new world. Oh, look at. But wait, 10 of them come back and say, yeah, it's a great land. Man, there's all kinds of fruit, and man, it's just awesome. But there are giants in the land. 2 of them said, Joshua and Caleb, yeah, there's giants in the land, but we have a great God, and we can take them. The people voted, and they said, we're not going to do it. Think about it. The same kinds of facts going into a new world, but upon what was their focus? So it is with Thanksgiving for you and me, as we anticipate the Thanksgiving season of the year. You have an opportunity to show your faith by how you respond to the circumstances in which you find yourself. That the circumstances that God has sovereignly orchestrated for you to navigate with His help and with His grace and to His glory. Here's your take-home thought this morning, all right? Your take-home thought this morning is Thanksgiving is a reflection of faith. Thanksgiving is a reflection of your faith. The extent of your thankfulness reflects the depth of your faith. A deep faith will result in a spirit of thankfulness. By the way, thankfulness is the inward attitude. Thankfulness is an inward attitude of understanding the blessing of God. Thanksgiving is the outward expression of that inward attitude, right? And so this morning we're going to be talking about the outward expression, that of thanksgiving, that grows from a heart that is thankful, all right? Just a little subtle understanding of the word, all right? But I think it's very helpful, the giving of thanks. And frankly, thanksgiving can change your outlook. Thanksgiving can change your outlook. And therefore, strengthen your faith. Thanksgiving can change your outlook and therefore strengthen your faith. In other words, I want to encourage, some of you need to hear this, in that you behave yourself into heart change, right? You behave yourself. In other words, I don't feel like giving thanks right now, right? You could say, man, you just don't understand. I don't feel like giving thanks. And yet, you know what? God says, give thanks, be thankful. So I am going to be thankful, give thanks, and allow God then to change my heart. Sometimes our emotions got to catch up with what God commands us. Behave yourself into heart change. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so as we talk about the measure of faith, that I believe what God says in His Word to be true, and I act upon it, and therefore I am thankful, and I then will give thanks. It's a measure of faith. Expressing thanks is a measure of faith, and we're gonna walk through that here this morning. So we're gonna look at some insights regarding the relationship of thankfulness or thanksgiving to your faith. All right? Here's the first one. That is, thanksgiving is an exercise of faith. An exercise of faith. Thanksgiving grows out of a heart, like I said, that is thankful. So if you are claiming the promises of God, you will be thankful and have an even greater opportunity, a greater desire to continue to claim the promises of God. It will strengthen you. I can't help, as I was preparing this message, to think of Habakkuk chapter 3. Turn to Habakkuk chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 17 and 18. Habakkuk cries out to God. God tells Habakkuk, I'm going to do something that will make the ears of those who hear of it tingle. It's like, whoa, you know, the buzz, you know, like, oh, you got to be kidding. He was going to use a wicked nation, the Chaldeans, to judge Israel. And this was very confusing to the prophet Habakkuk. Like, really, God, do you really know what you're doing? This doesn't make sense. You're going to use a nation that is more wicked than we to judge us. Doesn't make sense. And in that, Habakkuk stood the possibility of losing everything. Look at chapter 3, verse 17. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no fruit, no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, though I have the prospect of losing absolutely everything, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Though God would allow the prospect of Habakkuk to lose everything, except that which could not be taken away from him. And that was his relationship with God, his eternal salvation. Where was his focus? Not on the things that could be taken away, but on that which could not be taken away. Changed his focus. He changed his thinking. God, I don't understand. I can't believe you're doing what you're doing, and yet I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to worship you because of your great salvation that you have given to me. That's thanksgiving that grows from a heart of thanks. Not focusing on the circumstances, but on the Lord and his relationship with him. Here's a couple thoughts. Thanksgiving reveals your heart. Thanksgiving reveals your heart. Turn to Luke chapter 17. I'm going to call this a miracle in abstentia. All right? Luke chapter 17. We're going to look at verses 11 through 19. Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Just a second here. Luke 17, beginning with verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, speaking of Jesus, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Listen, your faith has made you well. Faith and obedience preceded the blessing. The obedience, go show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were obeying what Jesus said. While they were obeying, God blessed, and there was healing. Wasn't before, but while they were going. Faith and obedience preceded blessing. Your faith has made you well. And then thankfulness, or if I could interject, worship, followed. And I think this is a great pattern for faith. The follow up God's blessing with the giving of thanks, which grows from the attitude of gratitude. Remember, it's not the facts that determine our faith. It's our interpretation of the facts. All 10 lepers were healed, but only one expressed gratitude. And Jesus commended him. It's just interesting to me. He didn't say, man, I'm just so glad you're so thankful. He commended him for his faith. Again, connecting the matter of faith, thankfulness as an thanksgiving as an expression, as an exercise of faith. Upon what do you focus? when you're going through the challenges, the difficulties, the ups and downs of this life, upon what do you focus? Again, Habakkuk could have focused upon all that he faced losing or even lost. And yet, he chose to focus upon that which he possessed and could not be taken away, and that's his relationship with God. And so as you go through the ups and downs of your life, upon what do you focus? Thanksgiving reveals your heart. Another thought here. Thanksgiving follows but also anticipates. Thanksgiving follows after being healed. It followed that he went back and gave thanks. But it also anticipates. So take a look at Psalm 136, all right? Now, this is an interesting psalm. For those of you who like wonder, why does all of this modern music repeat things so much? All right? Well, listen to this. Psalm 136, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. And he goes on and on and on. Why does he repeat that so often and so much in this psalm? To emphasize the fact that his steadfast love endures forever. And so you don't forget it, right? It's one of those things, you know, you hear some of these songs, and it's like, what do they call that? A brain worm or earworm? You know, it just keeps going over in my mind, you know? His steadfast love endures forever. And so what you have here is the text goes on and finishes with verse 23 to 26. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever, and rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. The gist of this is, God, I thank you for all that you have done. But since his steadfast love endures forever, I thank you for what you are doing in eternity. It may be difficult to thank God for the circumstances in which you find yourself. But again, our focus should be on how God may be working on that, but in this context, on eternity. Set your heart not on things here, but on things above. Because of what God has done, however, in the past, not the least of which is to save your soul, and because of that, you can face eternity. Again, I think sometimes we take our salvation for granted. Do you realize what had to take place in order for you to receive your salvation? For God to save you? He so loved you that he gave his one and only son, his perfect, sinless son, often called the Lamb of God. He gave him to die on the cross. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And as a result, and he died and he was buried and he rose again to prove that he is the one who could actually save your and my sin-sick, sinful, dirty, rotten, in our own flesh, unsavable soul, and yet he was willing to do this out of his great love and save you. And it's by his grace that we're saved through faith, not of ourselves. To realize, oh, God, I couldn't help as we sang these hymns here this morning, just like, God, I'm so unworthy, as I'm sure you are thinking as well. God, I thank you for saving my soul. To give him thanks. So we exercise faith in the fact of saving. And if you're here today and you're not certain of your salvation, or you're listening or watching, come to Jesus in repentance, turning from your sin, and faith, believing that he did this for you. It's a faith statement. It's an exercise of faith to come to him in salvation, to believe that he actually saves you from eternal death and destruction. We do that by faith. Many of you have done that by faith. Amen? Then we live by faith. We don't just leave it there and say, God, thank you for my soul, and so then I'm just kind of on autopilot through the rest of my life. No. We continue to live by faith. And what we're driving at here today is how do I grow in faith? To what extent am I exercising faith? Thanksgiving is a part of that. It's a measure of that. It's an indication of that given this point here. This is what the Israelites forgot. You know, oh yes, we're delivered from the bondage of Egypt. That's a picture of the bondage of sin. All right? I'm delivered. Oh, but God, you've brought us out into these circumstances in life. And then we tend to worry and complain about these things. You led us out here to die. No, we're learning here today. Give thanks for what he has done. Yes, God, you have delivered us. And you know what? I don't understand what you're taking me through. And I don't understand this wilderness thing. And I don't understand that we don't have food. Oh, you provide food. I don't understand we don't have water, but I'm looking to you. You provide water. You can thank God for all things once you realize the extent of his love and his mercy. Here's another insight. Thanksgiving is not only an exercise of faith, Thanksgiving strengthens your faith. Isn't that what exercise does for us? Right? You exercise so as to gain strength. My membership at the fitness center ran out, and I still would kind of like to get over there and everything. So I continued my running and all, but I thought, man, I got to start doing something for muscles, you know. So I started doing push-ups, you know. And started, you know, and been doing it now for a couple months, and I keep adding more. Because I'm increasing the strength, I'm able to add more and more and more push-ups. The exercise gives us strength. So the extent of your thankfulness is directly proportional to the amount of faith present in your life. A couple thoughts on that. Thanksgiving to God is an outward expression of your inward spirituality. Now, again, I specify to God because the world will talk in the next few weeks here. They'll mention Thanksgiving, you know, hey, it's so good to be thankful. We got Thanksgiving, but can't wait for Christmas, you know. So there's a little blip of this Thanksgiving in there. But my question is, to whom are they thankful? You know, we have it all over them. They can't take Thanksgiving away from us, right? Because we're thankful to Almighty God for the great things that he has done. Luke 17, again, the miracle in absentia. The leper returns to give thanks, and Jesus says, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. And I think it's really poignantly observed when gratefulness is not evident. When grateful is not evident in an individual, when someone is not grateful, it becomes obvious that there's some sort of spiritual problem there. The ungrateful tend to grumble and complain. Why don't I have more? I can't believe I'm going through this. I don't deserve this. I deserve better because I am better. And it becomes evident that they have a lack of faith. But here's a second thought. When your faith is strengthened, you can say with Paul, therefore, as he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. Some of your versions say, in everything, give thanks. And we say, in everything? The good, the bad, and the ugly? How can we possibly do this? Now listen, I'm not going to fully answer that because I don't know the total answer to that. Other than the fact that where is your faith? I think really that's the key of that. Where is your faith? In what are you placing your faith? Are you placing your faith in the circumstances of life and how good or bad things are or not? But your faith is in God, right? Our faith is in God. That's where the faith comes in. And because of that, because our faith is in God and not in what's going on around here, we can thank him in every circumstance. Now listen, you want to know what God's will is for your life? If you're not already there, turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And he says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Don't know what God's will for your life is? Here it is, folks. Start there. I don't know what God wants me to do. I do. And now you know. Give thanks in all circumstances. God, thank you. I don't feel like it. That's not the point. I struggle with that. I know. So do I. We all do, right? Because we don't understand what God is doing as he, in his sovereign orchestration over the things of our lives, he is at work. And this is where faith comes in, for our good and his glory. We have to believe that. That's faith, right? That's a faith statement. And if you believe that, you can say, God, I don't understand it, but you know what? I thank you. I thank you. Again, I go back to Habakkuk. I don't understand, God. You know, all of these things, it looks like they're going to be taken away. And yet I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Because that can't be taken away. And this requires consistency to do that faithfully. Even when we don't feel like it, thankfulness is not, and thanksgiving is not a feeling or a result of a feeling. It's, I understand, you know what? I believe that this circumstance is of God, and so, God, thank you. I believe, help thou my unbelief. I believe, but help my unbelief. I don't understand this. And as a result, you won't have the spiritual ups and downs and all over the places. You will be stable if you're consistent in this. Thanksgiving also evidences itself by a spirit of generosity. A grateful person has a tendency to be generous. Why? Well, because he's evidencing his faith as a person of faith is generous. He knows that all he has is from a gift from God anyway, so he's going to be faithful. And if you want a passage for that, 2 Corinthians 9, verses 9 through 15. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. It goes back to our salvation. So thanksgiving is not only an exercise of your faith and doesn't just strengthen your faith, thanksgiving is a measure of your faith. How strong is your faith? Well, the extent of your thanksgiving gives an indication of that. Thanksgiving is a measure of your faith. Thanksgiving helps you see things God's way. It's another way of putting it. Thanksgiving helps you see things God's way. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And then you respond in gratitude. God, thank you for what you have done through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Philippians 4:6, he says, don't worry about anything. I like to start back in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again and rejoice. It's so important. You got to rejoice. Not in circumstances, not in all those situations, but rejoice in the Lord. And it's so important he repeats it. And then he says, let your moderation, your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. God is in this. Therefore, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer, everything, there it is again, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. My friend, I encourage you to get into practice, into the habit of being thankful for everything. As difficult as that is, I encourage you to on your phone or your iPad or if you have one, you're a pen and paper person, start a thank list. You struggle with anxiety. This is a curative principle for your anxieties. I went out hunting the other night when you go hunting with Pastor Nate, he likes to get out there like 8 hours before deer will ever show up. But anyway, so we get out there, and I'm like, you know, this is really early, and I don't have anything to do but pray. Hey, that's a good idea. So now, to be fair, I was anticipating preaching this message, okay? So, but I thought, you know, God, I've got time. I'm just going to start praying and thanking you for everything I can think of. And I started with my salvation. You know, I tried to think of many aspects of my salvation that God has provided. And I thanked him. And then I didn't keep my Bible out in front of me. I could have looked up verses and all, but I just want to be praying. Thank you, God. Thank you. And then I started thanking God for my family. I went through my family. We were there a long time. So I had plenty of time. And I started thanking him for the church and thanking him for you. And I just encourage you. Can I tell the other part of this? And that was when I got in the tree, and we were out there well before any deer were going to show up. I forgot my backpack. So I'm sitting in the tree, didn't have my backpack. Thankfully, I had my bow and everything I needed to shoot. I had arrows and I had my release. I had everything I needed to shoot a deer if one came by. I didn't have my backpack. So I got cold, and then I got to thinking, oh no. I told these guys in the thread, I said, oh, I forgot my backpack. And I said, and then, oh, did I shut my truck door? And it's a half a mile over there. And I'm like, oh man. Man, if I get down now, I mess these guys' hunts up. And I started getting anxious. That's really kind of the prelude to this. I thought, you know what? I'm going to preach on Philippians 4, 6. Don't be anxious about anything. Somebody could come to my car door, and if it's open, they could take all the stuff in there. They could steal my car. And I started going down that road. You know, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. And I literally had to preach to my heart by putting into practice what I was going to preach. I had to practice what I preach, right? And before I knew it, I wasn't even thinking about whether the car door was open or not, the truck door. I was focusing on being thankful for what God had provided for me. Not for what I could lose. I was praying I wouldn't lose it, but I was thankful. That is just a small illustration, and I'm not trying to say, look at old Pastor Dale here. I'm just saying, I just want to encourage you that's God's plan. That's what God, that's how God's work. He's given us that in his word to help us. And so start, you get a thank list. And anytime you feel that anxiety well up in you, pull out your thank list. And the result is, what's the next verse say? The peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Instead of, do what God asks me to do, commands me to do, and his peace is the result. It's the result. And what a blessing. So another thought here, is that thanksgiving helps you evaluate your relationship with God. And this is something you take with you as you go from here this morning. Just ask yourself, am I thankful for everything really? If not, there's probably a spiritual problem somewhere. And again, it may mean, Lord, increase my faith. I struggle in this. I have difficulties understanding the circumstances, the situation in which I find myself. But God, I trust you. I believe, but help my unbelief. I just can't see the end from the beginning, but I know you do. I know we're beyond time right now, but can I encourage you with one other passage? Ephesians, you're like, you're going to do it anyway, so go ahead. Ephesians chapter 5. I don't have time to develop this, but look at Ephesians chapter 5. Very quickly, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you. As we talked about this morning, it shouldn't be even a hint of impurity in our lives, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness nor foolish talk nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Isn't it interesting that he says, those who are not thankful are idolaters? How could that possibly be? And by the way, if you're struggling with any of these issues of sin in your life, not the least of which is sexual immorality, you're not thankful. be thankful. Focus on thanksgiving, not on what you don't have and chasing after the lusts of the things that you don't have, but be thankful for what God has provided for you. But why does he equate it with idolatry? Think about Israel once again. What were they doing? They were released from Egypt, but then they were like, and they had the riches of Egypt. The pilgrims were poor as dirt, as we would say. The riches of Egypt, what did they do with that riches? They made a golden calf and said, this is what brought us out of Egypt. Really? They took their focus on God and started focusing on an idol. Because they weren't thankful. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16 says, through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Thanksgiving rubs off. It's contagious. My prayer is that this message and our the theme of our month here will just be contagious, that we are thankful to God and thankful to one another. It will change the complexion of your life and even this congregation, this church. And it will be a sacrifice of praise to God. A sacrifice of praise. Grow in faith by growing in thanksgiving. Grow in faith by growing in thanksgiving. And let us offer up this sacrifice of praise. Why is it called a sacrifice of praise? Well, because I think it's because we have to set aside our desires, our what we want, our preferences and so on, and our expectations aside, and acknowledge him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's him that we worship. It's a sacrifice to say, no, it's not me. It's not what I want. It's what he wants. We're going to prepare our hearts right now. Hopefully you've been preparing your hearts for communion. Interestingly, some call the communion service, in some churches, it's called the Eucharist. The word Eucharist means thanksgiving. How appropriate to come as we come together here to examine our hearts. We're going to read that passage in a moment, but examine our hearts as to our salvation and any known sin. Confess and repent and lay those behind us, and then respond in thanksgiving. God, thank you. Eucharista. Thank you for what you have done. And these elements symbolize his death, burial, and resurrection. And let's rejoice in a sacrifice of praise for what God has accomplished on our behalf. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for these truths and this principle of giving thanks that will truly change our hearts. You tell us to give thanks in everything. This is your will. And we thank you for what you've accomplished through your death, burial, and resurrection. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to, oftentimes I don't have opportunity after communion to say this or take the time. But if you have questions about salvation and or your walk with God, or you need some encouragement in the matters in which we've discussed, don't hesitate to talk to us. I'll be down front and we sing at the end of the service. I'll be out in the entryway. Just say, hey, I need to talk. I'll have someone take you aside and pray with you. And